Amen. Enjoyed our first session. Learned a new definition of a Christian. Christ plus I am nothing. Amen. It's very good. It's very good. In our small group time, we had some good fellowship that, came out that, our loving the Lord, right, is in Romans 5, that he poured out his love into our hearts, right? Past tense. It's already done, right? So whenever we say, Lord Jesus, I love you, it is a true statement. Amen?
Amen.
He has poured out his love into your hearts. Amen. How about we say, Lord Jesus, I love you together. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. True statement every time. Even if you don't feel it, you say it, it's true. It's true. But we also have some fellowship that, sometimes, we're not feeling that. We're not feeling it, and come to the meetings more, not because we love the Lord, but because we just feel obligated. But by the Lord's mercy, we come, and into the meeting, like maybe 10, 15 minutes, we love the Lord again. And I was reminded of 2 Timothy 1:7. You do not have a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, love, and sober-mindedness. So our spirit is love. When we touch our spirit, we love God. That we just need to find our spirit a lot of times. Amen. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And I was also reminded, one of the best advice I got regarding getting married and being married was the verse was touched on from this first session. It was Revelation 2, right? We need to love the Lord with our first love, right? He needs to be first. Above even your future spouse, even your future children, he needs to be first,
amen.
Right? And also, it's like a love triangle. So it's like this. This is God, right? And this is, you. And this is your, spouse-to-be, right? So I heard this before. It was really good. As we seek the Lord, right, you're brought together, right? So you're seeking the Lord and loving the Lord. And as you're seeking the Lord and loving the Lord, you're brought together. Right, as you pursue the Lord together, closer, closer. And so there's that verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you, right? So it's always right, brothers and sisters, to seek the Lord, to pursue him. We need to give ourselves to pursue him. Like the song we sang, I want to fully follow Jehovah, right? Without reservation. Give yourself to love the Lord. And even after you get married, you keep pursuing the Lord, and that keeps you together. And actually, you get closer to the Lord, you stay together. Problem is, many marriages, they start wonderful, but then that what we talked about, that human love dries up. And so then there's not that keeping factor, and that's why divorce is such a big problem in this country. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom today is the church, and his righteousness is the Lord Jesus himself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we come now to message 2. And this message is living by beholding. Amen. So it kind of naturally follows suit. If you love someone, right, you want to behold them, right? You want to behold them. Here's Benjamin. If we're looking eye to eye. Yeah, it's kind of awkward, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Because there's not that right relationship. But if you really love someone, right, you love to look into their eyes, to behold them. And so this is a really wonderful message. But before I talk about beholding the Lord, I want to talk about, a lot of times I think is a concern of that we have for the young people is beholding other things. Beholding other things, right? So, amen. So there's this book that I've been reading by Watchman Nee called Love Not the World. Amen. Love Not the World. And in this book, it's so good. It's so good. I really recommend you all read it. But he talks about what is the world? What is the world? So in Greek, it's cosmos. It's the Greek word cosmos. And in the Bible, world is used in different ways. Like John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the world there is the people of the world, right? God so loved the people of the world that he gave up his only son, right? But elsewhere in the Bible, the word world, cosmos, is talking about the earth also, the planet. But thirdly, the way it's used is it's talking about the world system. The world system, right? And so what is this world system? I thought this was so very helpful. Let's read from this book a little bit. What is this world system? Okay, so he says here, politics, education, literature, science, art, law, commerce, music, such are the things that constitute the cosmos. That's the world, right? And these are things that we daily meet. Subtract them, and the world as a coherent system ceases to be, right? Think about it, right? Politics, education. You guys are all in school, getting an education. Literature, science, right? Are there anyone here who is loves literature? Raise your hand. Yeah, some? How about science? Those who are really into science, raise your hand. Right, okay. Art. Those who are into art, there we go. Law, we got some in law. Into law, really, wow. Brother Ben, no? and commerce, right, business. It's also part of this world system, right? Music is another one. It's a big one, right? So these are all part of the world system. And this world system is headed up and created by Satan, right? It's all controlled by Satan. And he's using it, he's devising it to distract people and God's people away from the Lord, away from loving him, from enjoying him. And so he devises all these things, right, to distract us. You know, but the Lord said, I really enjoyed this verse, John 12:31-32. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Amen. So this world system has already been judged. This world system has already, the world ruler Satan has already been cast out. Right? So I was considering sum up this way. It's like, if someone came to you, he says, I'm a captain of an awesome ship, right? This is like one of those mega cruisers, right? And it has everything you want in there. Like it has, great food, right? Great entertainment. It has, whatever you want is in this ship, right? And so trying to entice you to come and join this ship, right? But then another one comes and he's like, this is the Lord, right? He's like, yeah, my ship is not high tech, steel, whatever. It's very simple. But I'll tell you that ship he was talking about, its name is Titanic. Right? It's the Titanic. And so what he's not telling you is that Titanic is going down. It's going down. As great as it is, as attractive as it is, right, it is going down. And that's really the world system, brothers and sisters. You know, there's so much out there that, you know, is trying to grab your attention, grab your interest. But we need to be wary, right? We need to be wary. So this book is really good, and this message is really good for this. But one thing that brings out in the book is, you know, the Lord's provision for how to deal with the getting out of the world system is we have to get out. We have to get out of this world system. And let's see, find the verses here. Okay, so basically, okay, it comes to this. So to recap, we have here two worlds. On the one hand, there is the world of Adam, held fast in bondage to Satan. On the other hand, there is a new creation in Christ, the sphere of activity of God's Holy Spirit. How do you get out of one sphere, Adam, into the other sphere, Christ? It's because you have to die. You have to die. And so in 1 Peter 1, it talks about, it puts this together, just that we have to die. It's baptism. We have to be baptized. When you're baptized, you're putting to death that old world, the old manner of living, all your hope in that world, and then it's being buried, right? It's being buried. And then when you come up, you're in newness of life. Your newest life. And I can really testify, you know, I was saved in eighth grade in a Christian school, non-denominational, so they just preached the gospel, basic gospel. So I got saved, received the Lord. But I never got baptized. Well, actually, I was baptized as an infant, which doesn't count, right? But it's not until I came into the church life that I got baptized. And well, so let me back up. So after I got baptized in eighth grade, after that, it was a real struggle as a Christian. I struggled. It felt like I was getting more corrupt. I was going more down, struggling, you know, with fighting against Satan's temptations and whatnot. But hallelujah, one day I got baptized. And when that happened, my world changed. You know, it was like those temptations were not as powerful anymore. And was really able to go on in the Lord in a much stronger way. So hallelujah for our baptism, right? And so there's a verse here that goes along with that. It says, Romans 6, 3 through 5, or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? You have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. Amen. So, hallelujah for our baptism. And so, and the last thing I'll share is that there's a verse there, Mark 16, 16. It says, believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved. Right? So, what it's talking about, that saved there is being saved from the world. It's being saved from the world because Satan, you know, he doesn't want us to go on in the Lord. He doesn't want us to build up the body because that's going to bring the Lord back. So he is trying to grab us back, keep us back, right? So we need to get out of the world, brothers and sisters. And so we need to be saved. We need to believe and be baptized, amen. Right? And then we are saved, saved from the world. So praise the Lord for this word. Hallelujah. So, but also, we need to behold something else other than the world now, right? That's what this message is on. Living by beholding. Amen. So how about we read Roman numeral 1 together? To live the Christian life is to do all things in the person of Christ, in the face of Christ. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 2:10, but whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. So also what I have forgiven, If I have forgiven anything, it is for your sake and the person of Christ. Here we go. So person of Christ. So this is Paul writing. He says he forgives. When he forgives in the person of Christ. And then 6 through 7. How about we read that together? Because it's on page 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. Amen. So underline here, face of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in us, right, we have this face of of Jesus Christ. And this is synonymous with the previous verse that we read, the person of Christ. So this is talking about his eyes, the Lord's eyes. So, you know, I recently started a new job, and in this new job, I have a new manager, and same company, but she's located in I think near Philadelphia, and I'm in Virginia, so we can't see each other in person. So we do a lot of things by virtual meetings and phone. But there was a period of time where, I just started not too long ago, and I hadn't heard anything from her. Just maybe a couple emails, some reports, stuff like that. So, and I was like kind of feeling neglected, And eventually I was like, I said maybe I need to have a meeting with her. So I asked her, I shot her emails can we have a meeting? Because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing and if I'm doing the right thing. And she rejected the meeting. And I was like, yeah, dope. but so eventually I was like, man, maybe she doesn't like me. And it continued for another week, and she was just not able to meet up with me. So I was like, maybe she's not telling me what I'm supposed to do because she wants me to fail, right? And all these suspicions that are coming out, right? But, but thankfully I was able to finally get a call with her, and I spoke to her, and she said, she's really sorry. She's been really buried in a lot of tasks that have been given to her. And, she just, explained that situation and, pointed out what I needed to do. So after that, everything was peaceful. Why did I bring this up? Because really, this is kind of a picture of our relationship with the Lord, I think. A lot of times we get disjointed from the Lord, we get separated from him, and our situation goes down. Things just don't go well. So we need to take care of this relationship, right, with the Lord. And a lot of it is just about communication. Just have some communication, right? And, in business world, you have a lot of communication by, chat, IM messaging, email. But really the best form of communication, brothers and sisters, is face-to-face, right? You'll learn, if you have to deliver or talk about something very sensitive, don't do it by text, right? Don't do it by email, but a lot of things can get misunderstood. At least pick up the phone and talk to the person, right? Because a lot is conveyed more than just the words. There's the tone of voice, right? But even better, face-to-face, because actually they say 90% of communication is body language. It's body language. So, and it's very much the same with our relationship with the Lord, brothers and sisters. We need to have face time with him. Praise the Lord for these verses that shows us that we have him in us. We have him in us. So this is wonderful. So A says, the Greek word for person is literally face. As in 4:6, it refers to the part around the eyes, the look, as the index of the inward thoughts and feelings, which shows forth the manifests the whole person. And then B, Apostle Paul, who was a pattern for the believers,
was one who lived and acted in the presence of Christ, according to the index of his whole person expressed in his eyes. Amen. Whenever our heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, how do we have this communication with the Lord? Well, this is really the key point here, is we have to get the veils taken away. We have to get the veils taken away. And there's a great reading on this. I hope everyone reads it. We'll have a small group time at 4:30, so please read it. But there's a lot of different veils. It mentions things like religion can be a veil to the Lord. Of course, sin, the world, yes, but also even your parents, even school, right? That you wanna you're focused on school. That this becomes a veil between you and the Lord. So actually everything can be a veil, except one thing. What do you think that one thing is? That can't veil us. No one? God. Amen. Right. The Lord Himself, right? The Lord Himself cannot be a veil. So so we need to turn to Him. We need to turn to Him. Oh, another thing it mentions is philosophy. Philosophies can be a veil. And at my job, you know, they're very big. Have you heard of DEI? So diversity, equity, inclusion is a big deal, right? About celebrating the diversity of all the races, right? And then through that, you somehow find everyone's happy, everyone's in harmony, working together, celebrating all these differences. And even one, like, I went to this one Lunar New Year work event, and they're like, yeah, talking about how one culture celebrates Lunar New Year, another culture celebrates Lunar New Year, and da 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 da. And then at the end, the group president said, see, we're all different, but they're all still one. I was just like, what? So it sounds great, but it's actually against God's economy. Because what does the Bible say? Colossians 3:10. Look at my Bible. Amen. So starts, okay, 10 and 11. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Jew, or Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. Amen. So this new man is what God is after, right? This is the church today. It's his body. But this is the one this is the entity that will fulfill God's economy in Genesis 1:26. So in this new man, there is no race. There is no culture. There's no this celebrating diversity, right? But Christ is all and in all. So we're all Christ, brothers and sisters. And Christ is in all of us. So this is really what, hallelujah, we can be saved from all these veils. Amen. So it continues to say, and we can behold the glory, the Lord of glory, with an unveiled face. Actually, our turned away heart is the veil. An unveiled face is the unveiled heart to behold the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Ephesians 1:18 there talks about how we have the eyes of our heart. Our eyes are in the heart. So when we turn our heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. And then D, how about we read D together? The glory of God is in the face of Christ, and his face, his person, is the indwelling treasure in our spirit. Amen. So, praise the Lord. And then how about E? We are earthen vessels who are worthless and fragile, but within our spirit we contain a priceless treasure, the face, the person of Christ himself. In the whole universe, there is nothing so precious as to behold the face of Jesus. Amen. Nothing so precious as to behold the face of Jesus. Amen. And so there in Genesis 32 that's listed, that's talking about Jacob and how he wrestled with God for a whole night. And then he realized that was God. And God touched his thigh, and after that he always walked with a limp. And so this is actually all of our experience. Eventually the Lord is going to touch our strongest part of our natural being. And that place he called Peniel, the face of God. The face of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And these verses are all very good too. In Exodus, Psalms 27 talks about that we need to seek his face. The Lord tells us to seek his face. And we need to seek his face. Amen. How about we read one together? Under E. It is when we are living in his presence, looking at the index of his being, that we will sense that we have such a treasure to us. If we have some problem, we just need to tell him. He is right within us, and he is with us face to face. Amen. We just need to tell him. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, we just need to tell him. Actually, the best prayer is just the genuine prayer, wherever you're at. Even if you're complaining. Psalm 55:17 talks about complaining to the Lord. David's talking about complaining to the Lord three times a day, morning, evening. He's constantly complaining to the Lord. So it's okay, brothers and sisters, to complain. It's just complain to the Lord, right? Don't complain to your friends or your mom or your parents, but first complain to the Lord. And I can give many, many testimonies about some very big complaints I had to the Lord and how the Lord comes in. He's there. He wants to hear your complaints, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, and then two. Let's read two together. Seeing God equals gaining God, which is to receive God in his element into us, to transform us. The very God whom we look at today is the consummated Spirit, and we look at him in our spirit to absorb the riches of God into our being and be under the divine transformation day by day. Amen. So here we have 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is an awesome verse. Right? So how about we declare that verse together? It's on also on page 11, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. Amen. So when we have our heart turned to the Lord, the veil is gone, and then we can behold him and reflect him. Amen. Hallelujah. And while we're doing this, like as a mirror, we're beholding him and reflecting him, there's something going on. It's called transformation. Okay. Transformation. We get changed, brothers and sisters. We get changed. And this word actually is more than just an outward behavioral change, like this taught in like Confucianism philosophies. Just tell you to change your behavior to be a good person, right? But this is transformation that is cellular. It's metabolic change, transformation. It's like petrification, right? When that wood falls into the water, and the water flows on it for centuries, slowly all those cells are replaced with minerals. So there's a process of adding a new element, there's a process of replacing, and a process of discharging the old element. And this is what the Lord wants to do. So I looked this up, there's gold, gold, right, is very valuable. But there's also another metal that looks a lot like gold. and it's called brass, right? It's very shiny, just like metal, just like gold. But the value is hugely different. Like a kilogram of brass is like $5, whereas a kilogram of gold would be $55,000. It's like 11,000 times more valuable. So this is what the Lord is doing. He's transforming us to add himself as gold into us.
Amen.
Right? It's not just an outward change like brass, right? Which is really worthless. But he is changing us by transforming us into God and life and nature.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And then F. Let's read F together. As we turn our heart to the Lord in our spirit, to behold him face to face and beam him into others, we are in the process of being transformed into his glorious image, unto the day when we will be like him, because we will see him even as he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, last thing I'm going to do here is draw something on the board here. So the reading is so good. It talks about, there's a second portion from Watchman Nee, and it's entitled, In Rest Shall Be Your Strength. And it's from the verses, I'm going to write this up for you. Luke 10, 38 to 42, Isaiah 30, 15, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and Matthew 11, 29. Right, so this kind of ties it all together. So in Luke 10 is the situation where they're in the house of Bethany, right? And you know, you may have heard this account where Martha's busy serving, right? And what is Mary doing? Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet. And Martha gets upset and she says, Lord, doesn't it matter to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? And the Lord's response is, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but there is need of one thing. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I really appreciate Brother Nee's exposition of this portion, because it really helps. Because I always took it like, oh, then we just need to be Mary's, right? Just at the Lord's feet, just beholding him. Who cares about serving? Who cares about working? Just enjoy the Lord. But that's not actually what he's saying. Actually, he points out that every Christian should work. It is wrong if anyone does not work. The Bible tells us that a man who will not work should not eat. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So working is a law. We all need to work, right? We all need to serve. But he says, he reminds Martha not to let these things to enter into her and disturb her. Right? He said that we can work as much as we need, but that our heart should not be disturbed about it. Amen. So, and this part is in the reading, which is very good, but he talks about Isaiah 30, 15, which says, In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust, you will be your strength. So when you're resting in the Lord, there's strength. There's strength. So he says, it's like a hurricane. I'm kind of trying to draw a hurricane, okay? So this is my poor illustration of a hurricane, right? You've seen this like on the satellite pictures and whatnot when they tell like Milton and whatnot. So you got this big, massive hurricane coming, and it's destructive, and it's crazy, hurricane. But in every hurricane, there is an eye of the hurricane. And in that eye, it's peaceful. It's peaceful. So he likens it. This is our working, our daily living. Sometimes it's crazy, but our center is Christ, right? We have to take time to behold him, to rest in him, And then we are strengthened. We're strengthened to withstand all this craziness, this chaos. And then he draws another analogy of the ocean. So he says, like, an ocean has several depths, right? There's a surface level, there's a mid-level, and then there's, like, the, you know, the bottom level, right? And he says, you know, on the surface level, there's waves, it's chaotic, but you go deeper, it gets less chaotic, but then when you go even deeper, it's just still, right? So it's really like, we talk a lot about the three circles, right? As we just sang the song, we want to be sanctified, right? Spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So this is our body, soul, and spirit, right? So we need to be in our spirit, right? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the eye of the hurricane. That's that depth, the deep part of the ocean, right? But Satan and his world system and all his distractions, which are coming to you every moment through your phones, right? It's trying to get you to not look at your spirit, not look at the Lord in your spirit, but look outward. Care about the outward things, right? Care about all those things, right? What's going on in the world. But praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen.
We have the face of Jesus in our spirit. And we need to take time. We need to take time to behold him day by day. So every day we should start our day, you know, first thing is plant yourself in your spirit, right? Spend that time with the Lord. And then you go on your day, go to school, you have tests, you have to study. And sometimes but if you have that time with the Lord, it's like your anchor, right? You may get into your mind or emotion or will, right? Or you might even get into your flesh, right? Very bad. But if you've had that time with the Lord, that's an anchor that will anchor you back to your spirit, right? But we need to do this day by day. Every day we need to have that time with the Lord so that we can be anchored in him. Amen.